to be here. This is really good. I'm really enjoying myself. Thank you. Thank you so much. We don't do this at St. Godwards or All Saints. It's really, really super. And it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit's been ministering already. From the moment I walked in through the door and the ministry of hospitality. But I think there's more about that later. I wanted to start with scripture because it's always a good place to start with the word of God and with prayer. And this scripture is both because it's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3 and it's his prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. But I think he was praying for more than just the Christians at Ephesus. I think he was praying for all those who are yet to know the love of God. And so Paul writes, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's just brilliant, isn't it? Isn't that brilliant? Well, you might wonder what putting the emphasis on love has to do with healing. Well, it's everything, because I believe that we're healed in and by the love of God. Pure and simple. It's all about love. Human beings, although they're made in the image of God, are broken. God's image in us is marred, damaged. And God's mission is to heal and restore us, because when we're healed, we become more of the people that God intends us to be, physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. Individuals need healing. Families and communities need healing. Nations need healing. Nature needs healing. And we're healed so that we can become God's love and be God's love in our world. And this is important. Healing is so much more than pure physical healing. Much, much more than physical healing. And the writer of John's Gospel got it right when he called Jesus' healing miracles signs. When Jesus healed the leper, he wasn't just healing an individual of a nasty skin disease. He was healing a community. He was enabling a man who'd been excluded from his family, from his neighbours, his whole community, his village. He'd been sent away, excluded. And Jesus healing the leper of his physical illness enabled that man to be reunited with his community. And that's what healing is about too. When Jesus healed those who were blind or deaf, these pointed to, they were signs, they pointed to the possibility of far greater signs of healings for true true sight, true hearing. And every act of physical healing was an opportunity for God's love to be poured out, working, God working towards complete whole restoration of a person. We might be healed of pain in our leg or a brain tumour, or, but if we're not healed in the really important parts of our relationships, then it's not a complete healing. During September, October, November last year, I took a sabbatical. I took 3 months off church work. And one of the purposes of that was to explore different expressions of Christian healing ministry. And during the course of the sabbatical, I stayed at 3 residential centres offering very different healing ministries. Holyrood House, near Thirsk in Yorkshire. Burswood Hospital near Tunbridge Wells in Kent, and the Harnhill Centre for Christian Healing near Cirencester in Gloucestershire. And I looked at different ways of providing Christian healing ministry through healing on the streets and healing rooms. I looked at projects in Birmingham for those two areas of different expressions of bringing Christian healing. And I learned an awful lot about these different centres and their ministries and their origins, the history that changed them and continues to change them, and the theology on which they're based and the visions that are held in each place. And I just thought this afternoon it might be useful to summarise some of what I'd learnt, in the hope that God will inform our thinking about the whole area of healing. And one experience that I had, something I was reminded quite strongly about, is that healing, becoming the people that God intends us to be in body, mind and spirit, isn't just for people with a Christian faith. It's powerful in evangelism and in witnessing to the love of God in Jesus. And when I was with the Healing on the Streets project in Birmingham and trainings that I went to there, I heard of stories of Muslims in Birmingham city centre. I went to a training day at St Martin's of the Bullring, and they were telling stories of healings that had happened, healing on the streets, and Muslims passing by came to the chairs and sat on the chairs and asked for healing and were healed in the name of Jesus. Well, what better testimony is there to the love and power of Jesus than that? So healing, it's not just for people with Christian faith. And God's, and I truly believe this, God's will is for everyone to be healed. Every single person to be healed, to be made whole. But this healing may not come in the time all the ways in which we expect. And you may have heard, some of you, the Anglican Bishop John, his wife died a couple of years ago of cancer. And faithful people, praying people, prayed for her over the course of probably a year. It was a cancer that was quite well developed when it was discovered. And people prayed for her, believed that she would be healed, and she wasn't healed in the way that people had hoped or expected. This isn't a failure. It isn't anything to do with lack of faith on our part. It isn't due to failure, that we haven't prayed in the right way, we haven't used the right words, we haven't had enough faith, we haven't had strong enough faith, it's not down to us. Healing is God's business. And God sometimes chooses not to heal physically in the way that we might expect or hope for. And I very much appreciated Bishop John sharing with me during my sabbatical that when Denise was ill, there was a prayer meeting for her at All Saints Church in Worcester, at which the vicar there said, when we pray for healing, we're praying for God's tomorrow to come today. And Bishop John said, I like that. Sometimes we have to wait, but in God's time, all will be well. If we're fearful that God won't answer our prayers, and we hedge them with, if it's your will, we don't see answers. I've noticed that if it's your will, and we don't really like to ask, and we better not presume on your goodness here, God, because, we're going to be so disappointed if you don't do what we're asking for. We don't get answers. We have to pray in the faith, in the knowledge that God will heal. It just might not be in the time or in the way that we expect. We mustn't be surprised at the way that God will, he delivers healing. And I think it's really important to notice and record and give thanks for all the evidence that God is healing. So we may have prayed for someone's pain to be healed, but then we see God at work in a growth in faith or a healing of a relationship, and we need to recognise that as part of the healing prayer and constantly give thanks for it. You know, sometimes there are barriers to us receiving the healing that God wants to give us, and God may reveal what these are. And I was struck by that thought of turning on the tap. And it's absolutely dead true. Sometimes we don't have the strength to turn on a tap. And at the end of the day, it's not us that turns the tap on. It's flowing already. The Spirit is flowing. And all we have to do is to want to be available. And sometimes we can be so exhausted and tired, and it's a case of wanting to want, and even sometimes wanting to want to want. But, you know, God can work with that. God will turn the tap on. The tap's already on. It's just that sometimes there are barriers there that we need to ask God to take them down. It doesn't depend on us. It's incredibly humbling, but really freeing when we realise, when the penny drops — it took a long time for the penny drop to me, with me — it's not dependent on me. We're dependent on God. The example, unresolved anger, anxiety, stress can all result in physical symptoms, and until the underlying issues are resolved, the physical symptoms won't go. And forgiveness and reconciliation are at the very heart of the Christian faith, absolutely central to understanding God, the meaning of Jesus' life and death and resurrection and our relationships with God and each other. Forgiveness and reconciliation, letting go of the things that get in the way. You know, the New Testament Greek word sozo is translated as both healing and salvation. The power of reconciliation impacts on the health, physical, mental, emotional, of individuals, and also of relationships between people, the health and well-being of societies. Sometimes communities have to forgive each other, whole communities. And there's a lot of evidence from scientific research that proves that there are many detrimental effects on physical health of an inability to forgive, to truly forgive. And sometimes we may not be aware of what they are. They're so deep-seated, and they're buried, and they're hidden. I think somebody's mentioned that already, about stuff that's hidden that we're not recognising at the moment. But that hidden stuff, anxiety or anger, can actually be the barrier that's stopping us from receiving. Another thing that I learned: prayer ministry often takes time. It's not always or even often a quick fix. Wouldn't it be great if we just prayed for someone to be healed and there they were instant? It very often isn't. And I was really impressed by this during the month that I spent working as a team member at the Harne Hill Centre for Christian Healing. And just a little bit about this, because I think this is where a large part of my heart is. The main ministry offered here is individual prayer ministry in the course of a residential stay, either Monday to Friday or Friday to Sunday. So a group of guests follow a programme together during the course of their stay. There are relaxed social times over coffee or meals, but lots of opportunity for privacy and personal space. And during their stay, each guest has a 60 to 90 minute appointment with a prayer minister in a private room. And there's other times in the week where there's guided reflection and teaching and worship. There's time for rest, walks around the countryside. There's space there. There's time and space for God to really get working on someone's life and to let the word of God and to dwell in a person, so that working at someone like a, you know, the old plasticine. You ever play with plastic? It used to be, they've changed it. It's all pliable now all the time. But the old plasticine, when I was a child, it was rock hard, wasn't it? The plasticine. And you used to pick it up and it would break, snap. But it's, in order to model with that old style plasticine, you had to work with it. And it took time to get warmed up and moulded. And then you could make something with the plasticine. And God needs very often time to work with us in healing, to make us, to warm us up with God's love. The ministry at Harne Hill is structured with a particular and distinctive Christian ethos and teaching, and they use a model which shows that God's people are held in a circle of God's love, safe and secure, based on the first five verses of Psalm 103. God is forgiving, healing, redeeming, crowning, satisfying, renewing. And within the safety of that circle, human beings get broken and damaged in four ways. They're wounded in all sorts of ways by the awful things that people say. It could be that someone said something nasty to you as a child, and that wound has gone very deep, which then results in us saying wrong things about ourselves, to ourselves. For example, if someone as a child has said to you, you're useless, then you go through life telling yourself, I'm useless, I'm no good, I'm unlovable. So you're telling lies, and so you're oppressed by this stuff, which can cause us to act sinfully, to not behave in the ways that God wants us to behave. We put barriers up to God's love being able to come to us, and we say cruel and unkind things to other people, and also we're subject to attacks by evil. And all these things are interrelated. So while I was at Harne Hill, I was privileged to witness many lives changed as people encountered the Holy Spirit, deepening their relationships with God, experiencing emotional hurts healed and physical healing. And sometimes the two were related. And I'll give you an example. There was a woman deeply hurt from childhood because she wasn't listened to, particularly by her sister. And this was ongoing. She had a very difficult relationship with her sisters. And in conversation with her prayer ministers, she discovered, she kept saying, I want to forgive them. I forgive them. But she realized that she hadn't. It was very hard to forgive, to let go of the resentment. And she was looking for, at the same time, she was looking for a possible improvement in her own ministry, wanting to become a better listener. And then as she talked, she mentioned in passing that she had a problem with her own physical hearing. That physical hearing had been damaged in childhood. And during the prayer, the conversation, she had a revelation that it was all related. Her not being listened to, all tied up, this damage to her hearing and her not being able to hear and having problems hearing God and others. And as she listened to God, she was able to forgive her sisters. She was able to let go of the resentment that was spoiling their relationship. And this put her relationship with God on a totally new footing. And she also received some hearing. And consequently, she felt equipped to move forward in her ministry. What's more important? Healing relationships with ourselves, with God, with each other? What's more important, those healings or physical healings? Does that remind you of a story in the Gospels where Jesus told a paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven? And then he went on to heal the man. We don't know the details of all that story, but Jesus was saying, I feel that there are things that come first. And the physical healing may not be as important as the other things. The other things about healing ministry that I was reminded of: God heals through medical science as well as supernaturally. And we must also take responsibility for protecting and nurturing our own health. And so when we pray for healing for people, if somebody is healed through an operation, or through a counselling session, or through medical science, physiotherapy, or that's God healing. God heals through that too. And so we should be giving thanks for God for healing in that way. Now, this is key. Jesus healed. Jesus healed. So every Christian fellowship, being the body of Jesus on earth now, we are the body of Jesus. And so Jesus healed, we can heal. We're called to heal. We should be a healing community. And this is something else I believe, and you may disagree with me, because I've grown up in traditions that have said, oh, this person's got a gift for healing. And I'm sure that there are people who have specific gifts for healing. But every single one of us can be a channel of God's Spirit to heal, to be a channel of God's healing into someone else's life. It doesn't rely on an expert, and it doesn't rely on someone with a noticed gift. It really doesn't. And in each one of our churches, whether it's here at Grace Church or the Methodist Church or St. Godwald's, we should expect to see all the time people healed in some way. We should have that level of expectation. So, teamwork, working together, absolutely essential. We work together as the body of Jesus. Really important. As we've been doing this afternoon, prayer together, vitally important, absolutely essential. Openness to God and each other. Being honest and open, agreement with each other, living in peace and love, and being accountable to one another. And there was a conversation I was having out in the foyer there earlier about, you know, the importance of your cell groups or what do you call the groups where you're accountable to one another. That's so important. Knowing the truth about who we are, that's essential. That we're loved, that we are healed, restored, forgiven by God, and continuing to be in need of all of this. This is something that's happened for each and every one of us, I guess, here, that we know ourselves to be loved and restored and healed. But I don't know about you, I'm still not perfect. It's a shame. I wake up in the morning and I'm still... I'm changing, thank God, but I'm not perfect. So there's that humility there, recognising that we are all in need of God's healing. So When we pray for healing for somebody else in need, we come in humility recognizing that I am just as much in need of healing as you are. But it's important to know who we are, loved and forgiven by God. Perseverance, now this is another thing. Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. Another story. One of my weeks at Harne Hill, there was a lady who arrived who was had huge mobility problems. She could barely cross a room without difficulty, certainly not without pain. She had sticks and, in fact, she had a walking frame when she first came and a husband to help her too. Over the course of the week, her prayer ministers constantly prayed for her. In her prayer ministry sessions, in the times that there were for public worship. And as the week went on, you could see her getting stronger and stronger. She went from barely being able to cross a room to be able to walk to the church next door. Not without some difficulty, but she got there. By the end of the week, the final service, she got up from her chair and without the need of sticks, walked across for some more prayer ministry to her prayer ministers. It didn't happen all at once. A bit like that story of Jesus healing the blind man. Jesus prayed for the blind man, and it didn't happen all at once, did he? The blind man could see bits. He saw people as if they were trees walking. And so even Jesus, had to pray again. So when we pray, push. Pray until something happens. And again, it's not a sense of failure or that it doesn't happen all at once. It may take praying over a few hours. It may take praying over a few days. It may take praying over a few weeks or months or even years. But we keep praying until something happens. There's a guy who comes to St. Godwell's Church, and he's a member of St. Andrew's Church, but he comes along to St. Godwell's too, and he's had terrible pain with arthritis, crippling pain, and he came to one of our Bible study group on a Wednesday evening and Tuesday evening, and he was talking about this terrible pain. And I said, has someone prayed with you? And he said, oh, yes, I've had prayer. But it won't hurt to pray again. So we prayed. And then the following morning at the communion service that he came to, he said, I've had no pain. This is amazing. So praise God, this is great. But it probably won't last for long. It'll be back. You know, it's just he's having a good day. So we'll pray again. You know, keep healing George. And the days went by, and he came the following day. He said, this is amazing. He said, I can't remember in recent years a day without pain, and I've had so much time without pain. He said, I've booked a holiday because I know I should be able to go and book this one. Now, this was about 6 months ago. He still doesn't have any pain, which is brilliant. But it's just another reminder that we need to keep praying. If nothing happens the first time, we pray again. There are some common factors that are in all fruitful healing ministry, whether it's in hospitals or hospices, in the community, on the streets, in a healing room, in church, in a residential centre. And these aren't in any order of importance, but I've noticed that they all need to be there. So, hospitality and welcome. Space and relationships provided that put people at ease and help them to feel totally accepted and unjudged. And welcome doesn't have to be in a place. Welcome is in a smile. Welcome is in your body language. Welcome is in the cup of tea. That's one. It's absolutely essential. Hospitality. People aren't going to open up and to share about their deepest needs if they don't trust you and they don't feel that you are open and unjudgmental. Second, availability and accessibility. The message communicated that each person is important, valued, worthy of time being spent with them. That is such a gift. That when you're talking to someone, you're talking to them. You are the most important person in the world at the moment. And I don't care that there's somebody walked in who's far more important, or I think I want to catch up with them later. You're the one that I want to spend time listening to. And yeah? is that a message for you? Yeah? Good. that's good. But that should be true in any conversation, shouldn't it? You know that we give somebody our undivided attention. The most hurtful thing when and clergy are terrible at it because they work the room with their eyes. So they're talking to somebody, but all the time they're talking to you and they're looking around and they're thinking, oh gosh, the bishop's just walked in, and they're already sort of mentally, you can see that glazed look come over their eye. That's just so important. The person you're talking to is the most important person. That someone is worthy having time spent with them. And so that leads on listening. Really listening. To the person in need, to other prayer ministers who perhaps you're praying with, and to the Holy Spirit. Listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that can be hurried. And it's an art that needs practicing. And it's just so exciting listening to the beginning of your worship here this afternoon, where you were all listening to God's Spirit and listening for words, scriptures, pictures. Absolutely wonderful. That's the ways in which God communicates with us. It's so exciting, isn't it? It's not a one-way conversation. Listening. All of those, hospitality, availability, accessibility, listening, they're all connected and they all have healing power in themselves. Anyone coming into any one of our churches should experience all of this as standard. And each one of us has a responsibility to each other, to the new person. Well, is anybody here who's come to Grace Church for the very first time this afternoon? I wonder how many of you regulars have noticed the new person or the new people that are here. There might not be anybody that's new. Have you noticed who they are? And just said hello and welcome. And it's so important. You're fortunate here. Oh, I don't know, though. You might have chairs of your own. The problem with Church of England pews is that people have their favourite seats. And if you've ever gone into an Anglican church, be careful. You don't sit in somebody's seat because you'll get told to move. I mean, just how appalling is that? That's just so awful. And I said that none of these are in order of importance, but actually this is pretty important, because if this isn't here, then we may as well pack up and go home. The Holy Spirit. The essential waiting on, work of, and our total dependence on the Holy Spirit. I've said that before. Healing is God's work. We're channels, and every Christian, every single Christian, can be a channel of the Holy Spirit for healing. I just go, that verse in Ephesians about God seating us with Christ in the heavenly places, that's where we are. And it transformed my understanding of intercession, because I thought that asking God to answer prayers was like, I'm here, or the church is here, God is there, so I'm saying, or we're saying, God, do something. And that's not how it works, because we are seated with God in the heavenly places. We're there. We've been put with Jesus in the heavenly places. And that's totally transforming in the way that we pray. Because we're there. We've got access to that power and that love. And really important to remind ourselves that that is where God's put you. And if you're feeling, oh, no, I'm sure, it's not me, I've not been put there. Yes, you have. You are there. You're there. And it doesn't matter about how you feel either. You don't have to feel spirit-filled or emotional. It's not about feeling. It's about knowing. About knowing in here and in here. And God will do the rest. And healing prayer doesn't depend on endless words to God. Now, I don't know about, I mean, that was such a relief to me to discover that, because I don't know about you, but I get put right off by someone who's praying for me who just goes on and on and on and on. As if the more words we use, the more God's going to listen to us. It doesn't work. It's so simple. We pray for God's Spirit to come and work in someone's life. So we're praying to God, our Father, Creator, through Jesus, because we're sitting with Jesus, with God, and we're praying through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit for God's Spirit to come and for God's Spirit to do the work. Not us. We're channels, and we're empty vessels. But there again, just a reminder that sometimes the channel can get blocked if we're carrying our own resentments or pride or any of these other things that get in the way. Well, how long have I been talking for? Too long? Probably. We've got 10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes for prayer? Yeah? Fantastic. When I was healing on Harnhill, before every worship session, the prayer ministers would gather together before a service and they would listen for words from God, pictures or words that about people's situations, so that somebody might have a picture about, well, you've got experience of this. I don't know, was it teaching my grandmother to suck eggs? You know how to do this. You listen to what God's saying for those pictures, those words, because they might be relevant to someone here in the congregation. So somebody might have a picture, say, of a stiff neck or a thought, stiff neck. And so those words and pictures are shared at the beginning of the worship service or beginning of the healing prayer time. And, well, no, I was going to say you'll be amazed. You won't be amazed. There will be somebody there with a stiff neck or with a sore toe or whatever it is that God wants to heal. And people respond and they come for prayer. And it's a sign that God wants to do something in that person's life. When I was praying in the Healing on the Streets project in Harborne, we were praying together and I had a picture of balloons. So, I mean, you put it out there and you might think, this is silly. What relevance has this got? We don't know. And the thing is that sometimes God gives us pictures that don't have a relevance for that time. But we won't know unless we try. So you've got to take a risk. So if you feel that God said to you something, penguin or something, that happened to me in previous years. I had this picture of a penguin. Well, you think, well, what's that got to do with it? But in actual fact, penguin directly related to something that somebody was, yeah, I can't remember what that was, because you don't always get the opportunity to pray with the person who's made that connection. But so I had this picture of balloons. Okay, so we set out the Healing on the Streets. Do any of you know Healing on the Streets? Chairs put out for people to come and receive prayer, and people were passing up and down Harborne High Street, big banner healing, and some folk came over and there we were. We'd been there for about half an hour, and a woman came down the road with balloons. And so a guy who I hadn't noticed them because they were in this huge great bag, and one of the guys on the team said, "Christine, there's the balloons. So we went, we don't normally accost people on Healing on the Streets, because it's a bit threatening. If you do, you have to be sensitive to God's leading on that. When I've been involved in the market prayers in Bromsgrove on Saturday, fourth Sunday of every month, we have a stall all day, and there are folk who are around to pray with people for healing. Well, any needs that people have. There was a lady who I saw come down the street, and she stopped a little way from there, and I really felt that God was telling me to go over to her. And so take a risk, so over to the, hello, how are you? How are you? And it so happened that this lady had been bereaved a couple of months beforehand, and this was the first time that she'd come out of her house. She'd been scared about coming out of her house, and she decided that no, today was the day, and she got all her courage together, and she got down into the middle of the Bromsgrove and completely lost it. And she got to that place, and she was having a panic attack. You couldn't have told by the way she was, because she was just standing there. And so in our conversation and in the prayer, she was enabled then to have the strength and the courage to turn around and to go back home. It's that kind of stuff. Anyway, with the balloons, we had no idea. So we went and accosted this lady with the balloons and said, please don't think that we're totally mad. But we were praying together earlier, and we had this picture of someone with balloons, or with balloons. And she said, oh, these balloons are for my little boy's birthday party. She said, I don't think you're mad. My dad's the Pentecostal minister. Now, I don't know what God was doing there. What I do know is that, one, that we told her that we would pray for her boy, for the party. We put leaflets in the bag. So who knows what might have been taken out of that bag when she got to the party. And there's an awful lot that we don't see what God's doing. But just because those balloons came down the road, I believe that God was doing something, and we weren't being laughed at. It was being accepted and received in the love of God. I'm going to stop talking now. It's about time that the Holy Spirit did something, isn't it, really? This is brilliant. You know, I'm absolutely terrified every time I you pray for God's Spirit, because you think, well, what happens if nothing happens? And it sometimes doesn't. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's up to God. Perhaps we could all stand now. And we did it earlier, Helen, didn't we? Where we invited God's Spirit to come and fill us. Perhaps if you'd like to be filled afresh with God's Spirit, if you'd like to hold out your hands as a sign of welcoming God's Spirit into you. God's here, but just as a sign of our openness to receiving the Spirit afresh and more deeply. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.